Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Stevie B. Bradford.
Hey, handsome.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, it's good to see you through the magic of my computer.
It is the best.
So we are back from an amazing trip.
We had an amazing trip. What an adventure, right?
Oh my God. So we had never done this before. We had never tried to, well, I guess we did back in the day, we did weekends, but we had never in this capacity of the Stone Cold and Jackal show era.
Yes.
Have ever done a weekend.
No, right? We've never done kind of a one-off, you know, or two-off shows.
Yeah.
In one weekend. And we decided to schedule, we just did this weekend. We have October, November, and we're going to see how it goes. And,
right.
You know, just with me getting out of work in time, with you connecting, because you always end up getting delayed somewhere.
Oh,
and sure enough,
we're
flying to Indy, right? And
yeah.
And I get out of work in time, and I'm like, okay,
great,
I made it. I'm good. I'm on. I almost got on your flight because you took Southwest.
Oh yeah,
through Phoenix, and I almost got on your flight. But I'm like, maybe I can drive home fast enough and just park my car at the airport, and you know, so I don't have to fly into LAX and then take an Uber. Because construction there in LAX, it took me 45 minutes to get an Uber.
Oh my gosh.
And it was brutal. So I'm like, I'm just going to not ever fly out of there if I can.
Right.
So I made it, and I'm in the airport. You're in the airport, and you're like, delayed.
Delayed.
Because yeah, I was already landing it at 12:15.
So the challenge with these weekends, right, is making sure, you know, we're not 20 anymore, which we'll talk about. But like red eyes when you're doing a show at noon the next day, you can't do it.
Brutal.
You can't do it. You just can't
brutal.
Do it. Right?
Yeah. It was at 3. It was at 3 though. I'm just going to correct you.
What?
That show was at 3.
It was at 3. But even still.
Yeah, but since he was at noon, which was even worse.
Right. But you know, like we want to give you the best product we can. So we don't want to give you the zombie version, the zombie apocalypse version of the Stone Cold and Jackal show. So that's why, like, you know, and also we want to make sure that if, you know, if you're going to take a red eye, if something goes wrong and you can't get there, you know,
right.
So we're trying to come in, you know, the night before just to cover our bases. So I was flying from Sacramento to Phoenix to Indianapolis. And, my flight, I was supposed to get into Indianapolis at 12:50, which already was kind of late. Right.
Ugh.
But it got delayed by 3 hours. So I didn't land in Indy till 3:30 in the morning. I didn't get to the hotel till 4.
Dude, that is brutal. That's
yeah.
brutal. And you know, I flew from Orange County, John Wayne to Chicago. And I figured if something went wrong in Chicago, which often it does, I could just hop in a car and drive.
How far is it to Indy from Chicago?
I want to say it's 3 or 4 hours.
Okay. So yeah. I couldn't drive from Phoenix.
No.
No, no.
So
yeah. So
we got lucky on that one, buddy.
Woof. Yeah. So think, you know, and as flights get later in the night, you always worry about them canceling them because of schedules or you know, the crew timing out or whatever, but we made it.
We made it.
And I know we've talked about it before, but that day in Indianapolis was my 40th birthday. And so, you know, that morning, I took this beautiful stroll around downtown Indianapolis, which is a beautiful downtown. It was a lovely day, and I appreciate the city of Indianapolis for giving me a beautiful day.
Well, you got to tell the story about when you went to get the coffee and it was roped off and that lady was eyeing you.
Oh, yeah. So I was walking around the city. There was this outdoor meal planned around this, like the center monument. So it looked like someone was getting married out there, but it was just like this outdoor public meal. And I'm sure you needed tickets or whatever, but it looked very welcoming. And I was like, wow, that's very festive. So then I was walking to this coffee shop and there was this closed off street block for like a street fair. And I was like, wow, there is so much going on in Indianapolis. So I started, so I kind of eyed it and I was going to a coffee shop and this woman kind of eyed me and I thought, oh, she's probably a fan of the show. because it looked like she's a fan of the Jackal. Because she was like, she kind of like, you know, really fixed her eyes on me and then got out of her seat as if she was going to follow me. But I was about to open the door to the coffee shop. So I was like, I'll take my chances. If, you know, if she wants to see me on the way out, she'll see me on the way out. So I went to the coffee shop, came out about 10 minutes later and she's at her desk and the show that we were playing was on that block. And right. I wanted to get a little bit of the lay of the land.
Sure.
You know, because sometimes we don't know like what door we're supposed to go in. So sometimes
Where to park or wherever.
Yeah. Right. So I was just like, oh, the club's right there. I'll walk down this block through this festive street fair to see what we have in store for us later. So sure enough, that lady eyes me again, gets right up. And so I was like, you know what? I'll go talk to her and say, hey, what's this? So I get about 10 feet from her and she's like, you can't be here. And I'm like, Oh, okay. She's like, it's first responders only. I was like, oh, well, great. And she clearly could see that I was not a first responder. I don't think I exude any first responder qualities.
If I think of a fireman, I sure don't think of you.
Yeah. you know, I'd be killer at dispatch.
Oh, dude, you look like you're dispatch right now.
Right now with the headphones, the microphone.
Hi, it's 911. How can I help you? What's your problem? That is amazing.
Oh, gosh. I'm good at code numbers and, you know, code 875, ladder 11. Get there.
Get there quick.
Go. Hey, guys, slide down the pole. Get going. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny because... It's really not a joke because there was an incident in Indy.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Before we get to that. So
speaking of first responders. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, dude. And it was all over the news and you know, so we played Helium there, right?
Yeah.
So it's Indianapolis. I was born Helium. There. Did you just do that stupid voice again?
Yeah.
You did it during our sound check and the guy looked at you like you were like, who is this freak? Get him out of here. So I was born in Indianapolis because this is where people get a little confused. Born in Indianapolis.
Right.
Moved to Ohio, raised in Ohio, but always went back to Indy to visit family. Right. So I claim both.
As you should.
So it was great because I got to see some family I haven't seen for a while.
Yes, I met some of your family.
You met some.
We
went to a nice dinner. Wasn't it amazing?
Oh, it was amazing.
St. Elmo's Steakhouse. Shout out to St. Elmo's.
Whoop, whoop.
We had a nice room in there, a little private room for Bradford's 40th birthday.
It was beautiful. Restaurants these days, so many of the nice restaurants that we go to in this country are chains,
yeah.
Right? So you know what to expect. There is, you know, and they're nice, but they're not like unique necessarily, right?
Right.
This place is so unique. And
yeah, it was really cool, man.
Yeah, it was.
Got that feeling, you know, it was almost like, it just reminded me of being on the East Coast, actually. Like you go in and it's just dimly lit steakhouse with a nice bar and some private rooms and Sinatra's playing.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
You expect to run into Maurice Bernard somewhere.
So sitting in the back, you know, not anymore, but we had a great room. It was amazing food. It was such a great time. Great time with my family there. It was so fun. A few of them came to the show. It was great. And it was just a great show. The crowd, actually both crowds, Cincy and Indy, but Indy crowd was alive and it was amazing. And it was,
honestly,
it might've been one of our best shows.
Well, the thing is, for the whole weekend, it just blew my mind, you know, because sometimes the first show after we haven't done the show in a while, you know, we're not necessarily in the pocket, as we say.
Right. Yes.
But it's funny because, as you say, that indie show, we really settled in. We even talked about it. You said you felt relaxed. You just kind of sat back into it and enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I know it's tough sometimes. I know people who probably do theater or any type of music can kind of understand what we're talking about when we talk about this stuff. And it's new for us. So that's why we talk about it now.
Yes. Because it's a new experience. I know we're so lame.
I know it's so lame. But it's just a new experience because, you know, it's like I was telling you, Bradford, when we're in a scene, like if we have a 3-page scene, you and I, that's our time, right? Yeah. They count us in and then it becomes our time.
Right.
Like, that's me and you. That's it. Nobody else.
Right.
Obviously, there's a lot of people there to facilitate things, but those are our moments to create whatever is on the page plus.
Yes.
Right. Which is amazing because we have time to create something and we're creative and that's what we want to do. But it's different with live audiences because you're out there and there's definitely an energy with the live audience. It's how you're feeling, how you're performing.
Yeah.
But for some reason in India, I don't know, I had a breakthrough. It was a weird, like, I just felt like I had never been more relaxed.
Mm.
I had never been more like, just let the jokes breathe.
Yeah.
You know, and not rush things. And it just, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just one of those things like when you first start acting and you get one of those little moments, you know, that you have that wasn't on the page, you're like, oh, that's what we're doing this for.
Right.
You know, so it was cool.
You know, we talk about presence a lot in acting scenes, being connected and being present. And there's something to that on stage too. When you're saying the things that you've rehearsed and you're just kind of like, okay, I've said that. And now I'm going to say this. And now I'll say this. There are times where, especially if you're nervous about remembering what comes next or whatever, that you can be like that. And your delivery can be well practiced. And so it's not a bad delivery.
Yeah.
But if your delivery of the line can be infused with the energy from the audience and
sure. That's where the connection is, right? It happens a lot because I listen to a lot of these podcasts with comedians. And, you know, a lot of times you might see a guy who it's him and then there's an invisible wall and it's the audience.
Right.
Where there's no interaction. There's no connection. There's no feeling. He's just up there doing his thing and it's funny.
Right.
Right. But he's not really in the moment connecting with the audience. And there's this young comedian that I follow and he's got a big podcast and he travels all over the country. And he had to cancel shows. Like he canceled 2 weeks of shows that were sold out.
Because he was nervous?
No, because he was, no, because he's been doing it for a while, but because he felt disconnected.
Oh.
He felt like he's been doing the same thing for a year and a half.
Same show.
And he felt like it was fake now. He just felt like, you know, he does 7 or 8 shows a week.
Mm.
You know, so he's like, it's just, I'm just saying it. I don't feel it anymore. It's right. Weird. He was at this place where he wasn't feeling anything anymore.
Sure.
You know, so he's like, I need a break. You know, maybe he just needed a break to kind of breathe and recharge and he's burnt out, whatever. But it's just an interesting thing. And we'll stop talking about it because I'm sure for people it's boring as hell. So Indy was a smash hit.
They
will be
us.
Back.
Indy loved us. They really liked us.
And then, of course, we have Jeremy with us, the transporter, everywhere we go.
That's right. And he transported us. He sure did. He brought his own car.
Yeah, he drove up from Nashville,
really
met us.
He did transport us. And I, Steve, I want to say thank you.
Why, buddy?
You know, well, because, like, you always make me feel special. But on my 40th birthday, it was, like, I don't put a lot of stock in birthdays, but for some reason on my 40th, I was like, I want to feel this. I want to feel, I don't want to just let this one go by and not think of it as something. Do you know what I mean? Cause like most of my birthdays, I do that. Cause like I get, you know, this sounds weird, but I get plenty of attention in my life. Like, right. Like as actors,
it's
we
a
get
good point. Actually, it's a good point that you just brought that up.
We get celebrated on a random Tuesday. So when it's our birthday and people in our lives want to make us feel special, sure. I almost feel guilty sometimes because I'm like,
that's an interesting perspective, dude. I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah. And so birthdays seem like that. I don't need that. Like I appreciate it, but I don't need that. And so I've gotten kind of in the habit of trying to, I don't know, kind of not brush away my birthday, but just not take it too seriously.
Right. You know,
not demand anything on my birthday and not be like, yeah, this, but on my 40th, it's not like I wanted to demand anything. I just wanted to be, I wanted to be, just be present in myself and be okay with like noticing it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting, dude. I mean, because that you brought that up, because a lot of people are so, there's people who love their birthday more than anything ever.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And then there's people who don't really care or don't like it. Right. But the fact that you brought up the attention part, we, you know, obviously we're in a medium where we do get attention, right?
Yeah.
We're going on the road, we do get great attention. It feels great. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and now that you say that, maybe people who want the attention on their birthday are just wanting attention for, you know, at least one day out of the year.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
you know what I mean?
If you're, you know, depending on how your life is structured, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes people look at their birthday, I think, as like, oh man, this is a break. I get to, this is, yeah, hell yeah, I'm going to make it about, this is about me today. And that's okay. And that's wonderful. And I'm going to have a blast. And that, yeah. And I love that. I love that. And so anyway, we made some jokes going into it, like, you know, talking about how I was demanding attention. And anyway, you were just so sweet and you made it just wonderfully special. And so thank you.
That's well, thank you. That morning, you know, we woke up and I'm like, Jeremy, come on, we got to go. We got to. First of all, we searched it for a Dunkin' Donuts. Right? It was a 20-minute drive. We're like, we can't do it. We can't make it. I was going to get you a dozen Dunkin' Donuts for breakfast. But we couldn't make it. But it was cool. It was cool, man. We got to see this really cool, like, liquor store downtown Indy that I was telling you about. They had this bank. It was an old bank.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It was an old bank. So it had, you go downstairs and that's where all the wine was.
Yeah.
Right. And I know kind of our go-to.
Sure.
Expensive wines.
Right.
But it was so cool because Jeremy was like, oh my, there's the vault. All the whiskey's in the vault. It was like prohibition time.
That's amazing.
Fun. Yeah, it was fun. So anyway, yeah. I got you a $5 cake. That's what you get.
It was so good. Like, cake is cake, man.
Yeah, man.
And yeah, you guys,
cake's the best, baby.
You guys sang to me during the show, which was, it was so funny. We do this little bit. In the middle of the show, after Steve's like 25-minute set, I come in, we do like a 5-minute bit. I run off. Steve tells like a story or two, and then I come back on.
Yeah,
and I go off stage, and I thought you went up. I thought you went up. I thought you're like forgot that you had to tell a story or something before I come back out. So I was like listening, like, oh crap.
And then I look, I open the stage door because it was right there.
Yeah. So
That door goes right on stage, which is awesome. I look, yeah. I see you taking the sweater off and the mullet, like panicking, like, he forgot, I gotta go. He's like, freaking Joe Dirt wigs flying, the freaking sweatshirt's off. It's amazing.
Chocolate cake was delicious. A little smash cake is what it was, wasn't it?
Smash cake, yeah. Thank you, Indy. Yeah. We had a great time. Thanks for singing to Brad for his birthday.
But it was interesting. I don't know if you guys read the news in the last, I don't know, week, because this will come out in a few days, but
news out there.
I know, gosh. But Saturday night, the 21st in Indianapolis, we were coming out of St. Elmo's, which is on Maryland and on one of the main intersections, and we walk out, and the police and like the first responder presence was over. Amazing. It was extreme. It was
it was crazy, dude.
We didn't know what that meant or what had happened. And then we start seeing people on the ground.
Yeah. And then people like, someone got shot.
And then we saw people on the ground that had clearly been shot.
Unbelievable.
And
we had to walk that road. So it was like it was literally a scene out of the movie. I mean, 15 cop cars, ambulances come. It was guys with the yellow tape, do not cross.
Yeah. You know,
blocking the street off and all this. And we had a straight shot to our hotel, but that's the road that we were going to walk on back to our hotel anyway.
Yeah.
And like literally you remember you're trying to take that group photo.
Oh, that's right.
And you were trying to
send it to you, by the way.
Yeah. You were trying to set the camera up on the
timer.
On
the bookshelf.
Yeah. On the timer.
If I'd been better at it, we could have been hurt.
We totally, dude. I mean, it's crazy. Those moments, it's like, it was so close to not being great.
No.
Yeah. You know, and man, it's just, and what was weird is we were walking down and, you know, it's the telephone game. Everyone's saying, yeah, three people died and seven people were shot. Yeah, this whole thing, like the street was talking, you know?
Right, exactly.
And, but we did see one guy.
Yeah.
We walked by him. He was across the street. He was in a suit on the ground.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Right.
And then you send me the clip of the same dude in the same suit.
Yeah.
He just came out of, his mom just got married.
He flew to Indianapolis to see, to give his mom away for her wedding. And he went back to his hotel and was like, you know, I think I'm going to go out. And he went out and got shot in the leg.
Unbelievable, man.
So, but I don't think thankfully, anybody was, I mean, there may have been some.
Critically, yeah. No one's dead.
So. I don't think any, yeah. But it wasn't someone targeting the public. It was a scuffle that overflowed.
Yeah. Crazy.
But anyway, so we were very lucky to get out of Cincinnati, out of Indianapolis and make it to Cincinnati. But Cincinnati was amazing.
Cincinnati was so cool, man.
Yeah. Shout out to the Funny Bone Clubs. They're awesome.
Yeah, Funny Bones did it.
Funny Bones in Ohio. I got to say, Funny Bones in Ohio are a special treat.
Cincinnati and Columbus, baby.
They're beautiful. They're brand new. They're huge. It makes you feel like you're in a, it makes you feel like you made it.
And then you're back on your flight home.
I know. And then
because I barely made my flight there too. They were boarding as I walked up.
Oh, that's right. Because you had I had to wait about 5 hours in the CVG airport.
Wasn't too bad there. They had some good stuff in there.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. Shout out to the club at CVG.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So that's it, man. We did it. Now we're off to Portland, Seattle next.
Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking about this, dude, you know,
what, now that you're 40?
Well, yeah. You know, it's for the longest time in this industry, I was like the young quirky guy. And certainly on the set of GH, my nickname was Young Bradford for a long time. Like that's, and I always kind of looked at myself as the guy that was younger and kind of kookier than the rest of the people. And now, you know, like, so an aging in this industry is an interesting thing anyway.
Totally is.
Because, you know, self-perception is one thing, but then you also have to wonder about how other people look at you. And now, okay, I'm not the young quirky guy anymore. So what roles can I play? What's next for me? Like no one's seen me as a dad just yet, even though I have kids that are, you know, not just babies, they're getting up there. And like, it's, so it's an interesting thing. And I was thinking about you because, you know, you were kind of the young, your identity for a while was like young strapping guy. And like the interesting thing that I found interesting is on GH, that didn't change, right? Like mm-hmm. you kind of, you know, through your 20s, through your 30s, into your 40s, like you haven't been perceived differently.
Correct.
You've been treated that, okay, you're a leading man, and like nothing, your job hasn't changed, so that's interesting to me. But like, so because of that, did you, your own perception of yourself not change either? Or I do you know what I mean? Like, cause sometimes when we age, part of how we feel about ourselves is how other people look at us. And
well, we know that Hollywood's brutal with aging.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth. That's the truth. And it's funny you were saying that, cause I was just thinking, I know casting people probably will see me or something, go, God, that guy's been on General Hospital for 50 years.
Right.
So right there for them. They're like, he's 50.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the same. It's the old adage. Like, hey, get me a guy like Steve Burton. Hey, get me Steve Burton. Hey, get me a young Steve Burton. that's always the progression of Hollywood, you know?
Totally.
I know, man. You're kind of in a weird, like, you're in a weird category.
Yes.
But you are because I was watching
a category called weird.
Yeah, you're weird. Get me that weirdo. No, but because you do still look younger, and it's almost like I see guys playing dads who are, you know, I'll be 50, but I can start playing a dad now.
Yeah.
And I'm 50.
Yeah.
But I've been a dad since I was, you know, early 30s.
Sure.
But I didn't look like one.
Right.
So it's this weird thing of like, where do you fit in now?
Yeah.
But the good thing is with that is, you know, you might have a couple years of like, oh, what am I? Am I, who am I? What character am I going out for? What am I doing? And then all of a sudden, you know, people get into their 50s and hit a show.
Yeah.
And then they become
right
huge.
Well, I mean, you look at
or
someone
working at least.
Look at someone like John Hamm, who, you know, was close to 40 when he got Mad Men, I think.
Right.
And so up until that point, it's not like he didn't work, but he wasn't a household name.
Yeah, it's so weird, man. It's like, and nowadays it's, I don't know. I just might be, I don't know. I'm probably more out of the loop than you are because you audition and stuff. And it just doesn't, it seems, the whole process seems like the whole audition process and everything seems way more impersonal now than it did.
Sure.
You know, because
it's on tape. Yeah.
Everything's on tape and you don't really get right. to meet. You're fortunate enough where there's casting people who call you in all the time for stuff, but you know, and you have relationships with them now because you know them, you've met them enough, you read for them, but sure. It's not like the old days where you go in and you meet somebody and just for a meeting.
Yeah.
Like, right. Hey, here's a casting director.
Well, no one has time for that anymore.
No one has time for general.
There's too many of us.
Right. There's a lot. So it's, I don't know, man, it's interesting. That's why creating our own,
yeah.
You know, not that we're, you know, making movies and, but
not yet,
but that's possible, you know,
that
and it's
possible.
Like to be able to do this and create and obviously we have a ton of ideas, always, but I don't know. I mean,
what did you do on your 40th birthday? Do you remember?
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Can it be talked about?
Oh yeah. Yeah, sure.
So the way you said it, like, yeah, no, I remember that.
Yeah. So, it was
arrested. It was amazing.
I think it was me, Scott Reeves, Jeremy was there.
Cause you were in Nashville. Were you in Nashville?
No, I was in LA.
Okay.
It's right before, a couple of years before we moved.
Yeah.
But, all I wanted to do was go have a gigantic sushi dinner with all my friends at the time. I don't know where you were.
I don't know either. I remember you turning 40, but I don't remember the specifics. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a bunch of friends. It was John and Scott and Jeremy and I think Jack played too at the time, but I can't, it's a couple more people, but oh, Larry did, Scott's son. So what we did was we went and had a great sushi dinner.
Yeah.
And then we went back to my house and we all sat. I had a big great room. I had a huge great room. Everyone brought their PlayStation.
That's right.
And their TV.
That's right.
That's, and we all sat in a circle. What a bunch of losers. What a bunch of losers. You're 40. Quit playing Modern Warfare, you stupid.
Call of Duty. That's right. I remember this.
It was the best night because we all sat back to back in a big circle. The room was huge, but we could sit kind of in a circle
right.
and have our TVs directed where the other guy couldn't see where the other guy was.
Right.
And we would just have massacres. It was amazing.
Oh, Coors Light and Call of Duty. Amazing.
What'd you say? Coors Light, Call of Duty?
Coors Light and Call of Duty.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Pretty much. And candy, probably. A lot of candy.
Oh, man. Oh, dude, it was the best. It was the best.
I don't know. Do people know that how much you like candy?
What do you even mean?
No, like not for on a regular basis.
Oh,
but,
dude, I don't care. I love, sure. I was a candy junkie as a kid.
You have a sweet tooth. You are.
Oh, dude, I was the worst as a kid. I'd literally go mow a lawn and go right to 7-Eleven and buy a freaking bag of candy.
Yeah.
Like that's a bag of candy and sit at the freaking video game in 7-Eleven for hours.
That, I mean, that's what makes your determination to, that's what makes your health, you know, even more admirable because you like stuff.
Yeah, I do. But I think it's also because I grew up, you know, a fast food kid also.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I don't remember having a lot of home.
Everybody in the 80s was a fast food kid. That's what we ate.
I know, but I mean, my mom worked hard and she was pretty much a single mom. And it's like, you know, we didn't really have a choice. I didn't get a lot of home cooked meals.
Sure.
You know, so
when you're busy, it was
McDonald's, Taco Bell, it's fast food.
I didn't have Taco Bell in my town.
Yeah. And we had one in Ohio too. And it was, you know, so And then it was candy, but no one was telling you like, hey, that's probably not the best thing for you to eat that whole bag of candy.
Like,
you know,
yeah.
So, anyway, I learned, but I love peanut M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms are, well, and those, and when you're talking about candy, I mean, it's got protein, it's healthy.
Oh yeah. I mean, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not bad. It could be worse. Like Sour Patch Kids are probably worse.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we should do a segment of what's the worst candy ever. No, what's the
good and plenties? They're worse. I mean, in terms of like taste or in terms of like how good they are for you.
Well, if we're going to go taste, good and plenties not even on the list, is it?
In terms of worst?
No, taste.
In terms of worst taste?
Yeah. I mean, would you go, oh, I can't, are you heading right for the good and plenty?
No, I'm saying it's the last thing I dig.
Yeah, it's the last thing. I mean, if you're dying, I'd eat them.
There's no benefit to them. It's like,
well, if you're a licorice person, there is, and I'm not. Ugh. Well, I'm a red licorice person, not a.
Yeah, I see. You know. I feel bad. So, since being from New England, the New England Confectionery Company, ooh. Necco.
Ooh.
That's like a New England staple. Like when
Necco's?
Yeah, New England Confectionery Company.
Freaking poker chips?
Yeah, dude. That company, you could see the Necco factory as you drove into Boston.
How many teeth have people broken from those things?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's like.
I mean, come on, dude. Listen,
candy is a dare.
I'll take good and plenty over Necco.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So we did find the worst.
Well, but I think they may have made the Valentine hearts too.
Those were not bad because at least they had a message.
Sure.
They had a message on there.
Yeah, it's amazing. Because, I mean, if they didn't have a message on them, they're terrible.
Terrible. And if they weren't in the shape of a heart, it doesn't even matter. Just get rid of them.
Right. So,
then they're just an echo.
Speaking about breaking your teeth.
Breaking your teeth.
Yeah. So this is good because this is going to air in October. It's like leading us into Halloween.
No, what the worst was, dude, because I ate them all. Right. I ate all the candy.
All of it.
Those freaking dots attached to the paper.
Oh, dude, I love those.
And then you would eat half the paper with it?
That would make my stomach hurt because you end up getting tiny little pieces of paper in your stomach. And But I guess that was just part of the experience, right?
I guess. I don't know if they really thought that one out. They're like, hey, let's just stick some candy on some paper and put it in a bag and sell it to these idiots.
You know what it's like? It's like, okay, so there's
oh, gosh.
There's an assembly line for candy, right? None of these are handmade.
Yes. No, no.
So basically they just were like, all right, so, okay, we'll put these on the assembly line and then we'll peel them off and put them in the thing. And they're like, hey, guys, I got this idea. Just give them the whole frigging thing. Let them do the work.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Because you know that's what it is. The paper goes down the assembly line. The things drop the little goo that hardens into the candy. And then that's the candy.
And then what's crazy is somebody built a machine to do that.
Of course.
Like, that's what you're going to build a machine for? Yeah. For that candy?
Awesome.
What about the wax bottles? Remember that? The wax bottles?
With the goo inside?
With the liquid inside? Oh, my gosh.
Just like,
what were those things, dude?
Sugar and, well, just pure corn syrup, probably, right?
Yeah, pure corn syrup. But you're eating wax, too.
Did you eat the bottle? I thought you just like.
No, you're not supposed to eat the bottle.
You like just bit off the top, spit it out, and then drank the goo.
Dude, they're setting you up to be an alcoholic right there.
I know, right?
Jack Daniels made those.
I know. Oh, dude, you know what? I love those chocolate covered liqueur things. You know what I'm talking about? Like the around the holidays?
Inside the liqueur, inside the chocolate?
Hell yeah, dude.
What do you mean? As a kid, you were trying to, you have to eat 50 pieces to catch a buzz, dude.
Well, I'm just saying they're delicious. I don't care about catching a buzz. I just, oh, they're so good.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Have you ever had them?
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that.
You don't like what?
I don't like those things, the liqueur in there.
It sounds like you have like a philosophical, like something against.
No, it's just a little too, like, I mean, like, have a circus peanut.
What?
Have a circus peanut.
Talking about terrible candy. What are you talking about?
Circus peanuts are not bad.
They're gross.
I mean, depends.
What do they taste like?
Styrofoam.
They don't taste like anything. There is no relatable flavor.
Well, it's a little sweet.
Okay, fine.
But they're sweet, bad. They're not great. They're not great.
Like what? What would you compare it to?
I don't know, but I ate them. I don't know.
There was just nothing. It's like
packing peanuts.
Right. And there's no discernible flavor. It's just kind of like boringly sweet.
Yeah, no, it's not great.
It's not great.
It's not great. But there's so many.
You're saying you would rather eat a circus peanut than dark chocolate with Jack Daniels inside.
Well, you didn't say Jack Daniels. You said liqueur. And then they have Jameson ones. Jameson. Do they got Coors Light ones? Can you imagine? Hey, let's put some Coors Light.
this is good.
Hershey Kiss. Dude, but for a long time, I would eat the freaking hell out of Peeps.
Those have an identity. They're marshmallow.
Yeah, they're good, man.
You put them in the freezer. Specifically marshmallow.
So good. Stale Peeps were the best.
Yeah.
And then they went over the top. Then they started getting all kinds of weird flavors and stuff. I'm like, just stick to what worked. You know what I mean? I don't need mint chip Peeps.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Well, that sounds terrible.
But what was cool doing road trips a lot when we would drive from Nashville to LA was Cracker Barrel.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because that store, they get you with the store.
When they have like old fashioned candy, right?
Well, they had all the candy in the back row. Like it was like candy from when we grew up, old fashioned candy, all that stuff, like Abba Zaba, all that crap. You know what I mean?
what's that zap? What was that squirrel nut bar? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh, someone's yelling at the speaker right now.
Squirrel. Is it squirrel?
Squirrel candy bar?
Squirrel nut zipper.
What is it?
Squirrel nut zippers.
Well, that sounds like not a candy bar.
No, that's a band. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
See, most podcasts have a producer to like get the right thing up on the screen for us.
Right. We need a producer that we can ask them questions. Hey, Charlie, Google this.
Yeah. Charlie.
Squirrel nut zippers. It's a candy too.
Wow. Okay. I don't know if I've had those, dude.
They're like little peanut butter chews made by
who?
Necco.
Oh, there you go.
So maybe it was a regional thing. Maybe you didn't have them in Ohio.
Yeah, no. What about the Chico stick? You ever had those?
No.
Okay. What's that? I'll get you one.
What is it?
It's hard to. It's almost like a big Butterfinger stick.
Ooh.
With no chocolate on the outside. It had something else on the outside.
But that kind of wafery peanut butter.
Inside, yeah. It was really good, yeah. So
I love, yeah, that's a good, whoever came up with that candy substance.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Butterfinger? Like crumbly peanut butter.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah, so good.
That's so, real good.
You're
well
making
done.
Me hungry, bro.
Well done, everybody.
You're making me hungry. Yeah, Halloween's coming. So here we go.
Was it last Halloween? No, it was the Halloween before that you were at my house. In North Hollywood. Two Halloweens ago. We'll talk about it coming up on our Halloween edition of That's Awesome.
Okay, cool.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by StoneColdAndTheJackal.com, your one-stop shop for everything Stone Cold and the Jackal. Like tickets to our live shows, including January 2020 in the Southeast, which just got released this week. If you click on tour dates and appearances on the homepage of StoneColdAndTheJackal.com, you will see every show that is available for purchase. Also, all of our great merchandise, personalized video options, including our new holiday video with proceeds going to the Sandy Roman Foundation. And then, of course, our supporter group for Facebook. We like to call it Stone Cold and the Jackal TV because we put all of our creative ideas up there exclusively for supporters. And while you're there, don't forget to click join our list so you can join our free newsletter so you don't miss out on any tour dates or discounts for merchandise or any other fun stuff. So be sure to visit StoneColdAndTheJackal.com. All the cool kids are doing it.
I was reading this story. I saw this thing online. It was so funny. This guy was getting fired, and from a big corporation. And
yeah,
they allow you when you're getting fired to bring a person of support.
Aw,
like who are you gonna bring? Your mom, your dad?
I'd bring you.
Okay, you could bring a friend in.
Yeah.
So when you get the bad news, you have support.
Sure.
Right there.
So they let you know ahead of time.
Well, he kind of heard rumblings.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, you're getting the hatchet, bro. Hey, dude, you're getting the hatchet.
Bring a friend.
And then they get the call, you know, from upstairs. Hey, we need to see you. Bring your person of support if you want. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. So the guy hired a clown. Is that amazing?
So like as a joke or as like, I love
No, clowns. As a joke. As oh, a joke. Okay. So here's what he hired a clown to come in as his person of support, and they fired him. And the clown was mimicking everything the guy, his friend was doing to support him. So the guy's like, oh, you know, it's been whatever, you're fired. And, you know, so the clown's like
nodding on. Yeah.
Nodding and supporting. And then it turns out because of this publicity stunt, which was great marketing, the guy got a bigger job at a marketing company.
Amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
Well, I don't know. What would be better though if like.
That's awesome.
Actually loved clowns. And I need like. That would be creepy to me.
There's no one who loves clowns, Bradford.
Not in that way anymore, probably.
Yeah, it's weird. Can you imagine if like here they're like, hey, Steve, can you come upstairs for a minute? And I hired the it clown.
Well, I was there. See, no matter what, when you get called up to the principal's office or to the executive producer's office, I was on last week I was on set with you and over the loudspeaker, Steve Burton, please go to Frank's office.
I know.
It never sounds good. It never's like, oh, cool, we're going to have a good conversation.
Yeah, it never.
It never feels like that. Oh, sweet, that's got to be good news.
It actually was a good conversation, but
right, it was.
Yeah, it never sounds good.
It never sounds good. Like you, there's always that flutter in your stomach. Like
you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, God.
Guess I'm getting shot in the back again.
funny, dude. All right, well, we have... We made some more phone calls.
Yes, we did.
And we would like to share them with you in a little segment we like to call Don't Call Us, We'll Call You.
Dana, it's Bradford Anderson. I play Spinelli on General Hospital. How are you?
Yes, oh my God, hi.
Hi. Anything that you would like to say to Steve Burton, if you could?
I think he needs more black shirts.
Dana, that's all you got for me?
Oh, my God. I
have enough black shirts. Thank you so much. What's your favorite storyline of all time on General Hospital?
I remember when Jason became Jason Morgan. And
yeah, we're all very grateful for
all
that
of
day.
That was the best day of my life when AJ drove drunk and I hit my head on a tree. If you could have one person's hair on the show, who would it be besides Tony Geary's perm from 1982? Emily.
What's going on?
Steve Burton and Bradford Anderson. And you missed us. No fish are biting today, bro.
Gotta keep throwing your line in, bro. Dropping your bobber.
No, don't say that.
Hello?
Marianne?
Yes.
How are you?
Okay.
God, he sounds like a creeper, doesn't he, Marianne? That is so
Marianne,
creepy.
This is Steve Burton.
Oh, my goodness. You caught me in the lobby at the Planet Hollywood in Vegas.
Oh, the big girl.
Why didn't you bring us, Marianne? My goodness.
Yeah, I'm here to see Jeff Leppard tonight.
Yeah!
You are living Steve's best life right now is what
you're
doing.
Oh, that is amazing. I can't even believe this.
Appreciate the call. Love it.
And remember, okay. Marianne, love bites, okay? And this is what Bradford says every night to me. He says, pour some sugar on me.
Yeah, hello?
Paula.
Yes?
What's going on?
I don't know. Who's this?
Can you figure it out? Who is this?
Oh, my God, Steve?
Yes, Baller.
Brad?
Hey, Baller.
Oh my God, Mom, this is the Jackal and Steve Burton. From
I love
General
it.
Hospital.
The Jackal and Steve Burton. We're gonna change our name to Steve Burton and the Jackal.
You got to come back to West Palm Beach in Florida, and I'll come see you again.
What did you think about the show? What did you think?
You guys were a riot.
Tell Mom happy birthday. Go. Can you put it on speakerphone, and we can tell her happy birthday?
You are on speakerphone.
Oh, we are. Hey, Mom, happy birthday. Did we get hung up on again?
Says they're on the call.
Hello?
Hello, Kim?
Hi, Kim. I play Jason Morgan on General Hospital, and we just wanted to ask you a few questions.
It's not a 900 number, Steve. Dude, that's our next bit.
Hang up.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, folks, for putting up with us.
Dude, listen, man, we're going to do more of these calls. I want to do some prank calls, man. It's going to be fun.
Well, you know what we can do? I would also like to do maybe some quizzing. We can like invite them
to
answer some questions. Maybe we'll send them a podcast mug if they get the answers right.
Sure.
Or we can come up with like a lapel pin like they do on NPR for like the Puzzle Master. I don't know. We got to come up. We're going to keep it interesting.
Yeah, we'll do something for sure. Yeah.
But thank you guys. We have plenty of numbers to see our supporters. We put out to our supporters to send us their info, and we got it.
We got a lot of numbers.
We got a lot of numbers.
But this is what we love about doing, the exclusive content for the supporters. It's fun. It's stuff that we're always coming up with new stuff that we can do. So if you're interested in becoming a supporter, go check it out at the Facebook page. Click the blue button.
Yeah, no, we did another fun backstage interview at the club in Indianapolis. So you get to see like kind of the backstage areas and see what we see. Cause a lot of these clubs we've never been to before. So we walk in and we're like, oh, this is going to be a pleasant experience, or, oh, this is dirty and gross.
yeah, that's true. There are some
of
those.
We have to sit in this dirty and gross thing for like 5 hours. So it's always fun, and we like to share that. And so anyway, we're having a lot of fun with our supporters.
Yes, and means and a lot to us. We're having a great time.
Supporters, don't mute your ringers, eh?
Yeah, right on.
Right on, right on. All right, we got a couple questions today.
Yeah, let's do it, man. I love questions.
This is from Nancy W. She wants to know if you could play another role on the show for a day. Who would each of you want to trade places with?
Wow.
So this is good because it's like you don't have to make a huge decision like, oh, I wish
I
could.
No, you don't. For one day?
Just for a day.
Well, I don't think I'm a good enough actor because as soon as you said that, like Faison popped in my head.
That would be fun.
You know what I mean? But I'm not that good. I can't do it. I couldn't do it.
Well, that's the thing is like, do you have to do it like they do it, or can you do it in your own way?
I don't know, man. That would be
tough. If you had to try to like be Anders, that'd be hard.
Well, yeah, it would be.
I'd love to see whatever wig you had to try, though.
Dude, my easy go-to would be Sonny, because I could freaking nail that. Like,
right
business.
You just get like a little Sideshow Bob wig and be Anders.
Yeah, or I'll get a Eddie Munster wig and be Sonny. It'd be beautiful, dude. Dude, we got to bring that to the show.
Oh, you're
that
right.
That would be funny, because if I could just put the wig on real quick and you put my jacket on like we do, that'd be funny, dude.
That would be amazing. I love that. See, this is great. This is great.
Portland, Seattle, get ready.
Get ready for Eddie Munster Corinthos.
No, not another kid.
No, no.
No more kids. No more kids.
Who would you be? Who would I be? I wouldn't mind being a doctor for a day.
Really? Well, you could say a lot of jargon, so you could get away with that. Yeah?
I just would love to wear the white coat. I'd love to feel
important.
Yes.
That's funny.
Well, it would just be fun. I mean, not that I ever really want to say I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV, but it'd be fun to have that in your pocket and have it be real.
Sure. That'd be amazing. That would actually be cool if you were a doctor.
Yeah.
That'd be a good role for you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, that would be good. I like that. Then you can examine me.
Cough.
You're so stupid. Turn
your head and cough.
Turn your head and shut up. Ask the next question.
Turn your head and shut up. This is more of just like a logistical question.
Yeah, sure.
Wondering if Steve ever thinks Kelly might hit her head on the wall or post when he picks her up and runs upstairs in the penthouse, or is that her problem?
Well, I wouldn't say it's her problem, because I'm the driver.
Right. That's a question from Kelly S. So
Kelly S.
Kelly.
About Kelly M.
That's right.
I try to be very careful, obviously.
Those stairs are pretty.
You got to do some maneuvering.
Right. Well, yeah. Once you hit the landing.
Yeah.
You gotta,
up there, right. Because and it at the top of the stairs, it just ends.
That's correct.
You go around the corner and you could go off the set.
It's funny. I scampered up and down those stairs for many years.
Yes, you did. It was amazing.
It is amazing that I never fell down. Ate it coming down. Because like that was the thing. I was like, Spinelli runs up and down stairs. It just made.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. Like every stairwell, Spinelli has to be running up or down them.
Like now that Spinelli's 40, I'm not sure he will.
Now what's going to happen?
He'll take them super slowly because he doesn't want to bust his Achilles. But like back in the day, I loved that. I loved when you could hear him coming.
That's amazing.
It made me so happy.
Yeah. But to answer Kelly's question, I do obviously try to not hurt because people when I pick him up and carry him.
Because that's one thing that they'd probably have to stop tape for.
You think? Like, and I'm sure it's happened.
I'm sure it's happened. Well, we used to have all those great, and they still do like a bit of a blooper reel.
Yeah.
For our Christmas show, for our Christmas party. Did they do it this year?
They did it this year, yeah.
Yeah. And that's always fun.
That's always great to see those outtakes, man. And actually, they played them at the convention.
Oh, they did? Oh, cool.
Yeah. The convention in Burbank, which we're playing at this year, by the way. That was the stuff. That's what we couldn't announce a couple podcasts ago.
But they put it up on their website, didn't they?
They put it up. They tweeted it out. So we are the Saturday night entertainment.
For your entertainment, General Hospital Convention 2020.
Yeah.
GH 2020.
In May.
Stone Cold and Jackal show.
Wow. And it's going to be a new show, which is crazy.
It is. We're gonna make it special for that. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Not that it's not special anywhere else, but yeah.
Yeah.
So we're very excited. Thank you to Creation Entertainment for
having us. It's gonna be amazing.
We're very excited about that. Awesome. Yeah. And so no busting heads. Good job, Steve.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. So we have some really nice people leaving us reviews on iTunes, and we wanted to just
thank them.
We wanted to thank them and shout out a couple. Sam says, Stephen Bradford are so fun to listen to. I love their banter. Their podcast is informative and interesting for sure, but mostly it's just entertaining and fun. I look forward to Wednesdays now because of these two guys. If you're a GH fan or even just a soap fan in general, the podcast is a must. And I love that because, that's the whole point, having fun. Right.
That's what we want to do. We want people to have fun, learn a little bit, and just laugh and have a good time. And hopefully we do that. That's very nice of her. I never read those reviews, so this is cool to hear.
Chica Run, she says, if you want to hear Stone Cold laugh, you will love this. The chemistry between the guys is great, funny, and learning a lot about the work and art of soaps. I'm not sure there's that much art, but I'm joking. Keep it up, guys. Since we've been doing this, I love people seeing you in a different light.
Well, that's nice of you. Thank you, Bradford.
Yeah, it's fun because I've known this side of you for many years. And obviously the people that have seen you on the road have seen it even before we did our show. But through this, they're hearing a different side of you that is maybe different from what they imagine. I think I'm probably kind of in line with what they think.
Well, I mean, but I don't know. It's cool. And that's one of the reasons we did this too, is because they might be able to see that about me, but now you can see it about almost everyone on our cast and people that we interview, right?
Correct. Yeah.
You're getting to see a whole nother side and what makes people tick and how they grew up. And it's just a great way to share story, and everybody has a story. And that's what we love about this medium, is we get to hear their story. And we end up becoming better friends with these people.
Absolutely.
And having a better relationship with these people and each other, which is cool.
Well, and also, whenever we do our live show and we make the joke, oh, we've ruined GH for you.
Yeah.
I think about, a lot of people that spend 5 days a week with our characters make assumptions. And sometimes it's very easy to align the actors with their characters, right?
Absolutely.
Even if you have a healthy separation from the story,
Sure.
They're on TV, they're actors. But still, like, if you see somebody act like a jerk all the time, 5 days a week, in your head, they're like, you might subconsciously just assume that they're kind of like that.
Sure.
And I don't know. I think there's a fun new side that hopefully we're giving to people of like, oh, they are nothing like that. And so maybe when you watch the show,
I think it's a different viewing experience for people, for sure.
Right.
After they see us, for sure. And after they hear the interviews, too.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, it's cool.
So, anyway, I love reading those reviews. If you want to, we always appreciate when people do, because for iTunes, it's, you know, there's so many different algorithms that affect how shows get seen. And so if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be so appreciative, and it might help someone else find our show.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely.
Because that's what happens. The more reviews we get, the more it gets featured, and then people might find it. And so we'd be super appreciative of that. And thank you to everyone that has already.
Guys, we love you. We thank you. Thanks for tuning in always. And Bradford, love you, buddy.
Love
Happy
you, buddy.
40th birthday, pal.
Oh, man. I'm excited. I feel very good about this decade. I feel
it's going to be a good one. Next 10 years, they're going to be the best.
I know. It's been pretty good so far, so I can only imagine.
Awesome.
All right, buddy. Talk
Have
later.
A good one.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Who says women don't like sports? Grab a beer or a glass of Chardonnay and check out all the great shows on the Podcast One Sportsnet. Get in the conversation by listening to some of the biggest names in sports discuss your favorite teams. Tune in every day of the week to get the exciting coverage you want to remain up to date on all that's happening in the competitive world of sports. Check out the Dan Patrick Show, the Steve Austin Show, and more on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One Sportsnet.